Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 166th episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today we're talking about love, and self-discovery. But before we dive in deep into that topic, this week's petit plaisir is a recipe, a delicious summer recipe that is so simple that you won't believe that it looks that complicated. It is just something that I thought was excessively complicated. And then I started thinking about it, looking at the recipe, and I'm thinking, oh, why haven't I done this before? So stay tuned at the end of today's episode and we'll talk about what that summer recipe is. And one more piece of news that I want to share with you is an exciting piece of news. It happened just over a week ago. Well, actually it happened over a year ago, but the word came through just over a year, week and a half ago, that the audiobook of Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide, is now officially available on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. So if you are interested in listening to the book, which is approximately 9 hours of listening material and narrated by myself, which podcast listeners have become accustomed to and ask for, you can now have your own audio copy. I'll provide a link on today's show notes so you can pick up that book, which is the same price as the one you would hold in your hand. So thank you for your patience. And for those of you that reached out to me and kept asking, where is the audiobook? I would love to have an audiobook. I choose to listen to my books and rather than to read them. You now have that available to you. So thank you again for your patience. And the journey of how it all came to be and why it took so long is in a post I wrote last week, and I'll provide a link for that if you're curious. All right, let's get to today's topic, love and self-discovery, how to be one half of a healthy relationship. I want to begin with a simple quote from Esther Perel, who is a relationship psychotherapist and best-selling author. She states quite simply, if you want to change your partner, change yourself. The unexpected adventure you embark upon when you step into a relationship with a potential life partner is that you embark on a journey of self-discovery. Of course, we can and should go on sojourns of self-discovery before we choose to step into a relationship, but because of the nature of a romantic partnership, often our less developed and tender spots don't fully become exposed. After all, when we care for someone and see potential for spending our future with them and they with us, we experience emotions at a more intense level than we may have before, and perhaps emotions we may have never experienced before. Whether you are in a relationship that has seen years together, are just beginning to get to know one another, or are not in a relationship at all except the one with yourself, understand what Esther Perel reminds us of in her quote. If we enter into a relationship in hopes of finding someone who will fill a place in our lives, do what we need them to do, and forget that a relationship involves two human beings made up of emotions, aspirations, perceived as well as real limitations, then we need to step back from stepping into a relationship in order to have a healthy relationship down the road. A simple understood truth that most people accept is nobody is perfect, but sometimes we skip over this truth and jump to assumptions and high expectations rather than coming to understand the person we are involved with and finding the strength to truthfully express who we are and our curiosities as well as our boundaries. So today we're going to take a look at what love, real love, unveils about ourselves and also what it asks of us. So let's first look at the truths that we need to understand about this real love that we do want, but maybe we're not really aware of what it will look like or feel like. Number one, you must become a good partner in order to have the opportunity to find and begin to grow a healthy relationship. What I mean by this is you do not have to have it all figured out. First of all, I don't want to make it sound like you have to have everything figured out before you step into a relationship. But what I mean is that you must come into a relationship as someone who is content in their own company, someone who is self-aware and therefore also aware of who might make a good partner. As well, your ability to communicate clearly will be very helpful, being willing to be vulnerable, but also confident and assured so as not to be taken advantage of. So doing that work before on yourself not only makes for stronger relationships, no matter whether they're platonic or romantic, but you enjoy your own company far more because you begin to create this life that you love living, whether you're with or without someone special in your life. So that's number one. Number two, a healthy relationship, which requires being involved with a secure partner, will provide the opportunity to see faults in ourselves. Yes, that is true. While we are imperfect beings, the truth is when we live on our own or we live in relationships that are not truly intimate, we can refrain from confronting what is obstructing our path to reach our fullest potential. However, when the carrot of a loving relationship is set before us, we will have moments of opportunity to recognize where we can do better. In those moments, take time to reflect, and if necessary, communicate with an objective or trusting third party that will give you tools to shift or change what is no longer working. And so number two is a healthy relationship, which involves two secure partners, will provide the opportunity to see faults in ourselves. Number three, from time to time, we will fall back onto faults that are unhelpful. However, the key is to recognize these instances when they occur. So being self-aware, recognizing those, that's a huge step in the right direction. And gradually, with mindful attention, understanding why you do this, why do you fall back into this pattern that you know very much so that this is not helpful? Why do you do that? There's a reason. Subconsciously, there is a reason. And you can figure that out. It may take time. It may involve talking with someone who you trust and who's objective. But once you figure that out, you can then choose a new action that is still helpful and healthy rather than hurtful and destructive, and begin to cultivate a new habit. Now, I was recently listening to a book called The Power of Habit. And yes, I was listening to that book. It was on a road trip that I recently took. And the three parts of a habit are a cue, a routine, and a reward. Those are the three components. And the book makes the argument that the best and strongest way to change a bad habit, so that default that I was just talking about that's no longer working, is to change the routine. So you only change one of those three things. So say you have a cue, say you've been hurt in the past, say someone lied to you, say someone cheated on you, and there's a behavior that that person did, something that they would do. That's the cue, right? And so you have your default that's not working for you now with this new person. It's not working with you with this person. And this person is giving you no reason to think that they are untrustworthy. Okay, so it just happened to be a random behavior that then basically didn't really have a correlation. It's just that this person would do that and then they were someone who cheated on you. So what you need to be thinking about is, okay, what's the response that I need to have that's healthy? Change how I respond to that cue. Because the reward you want is to feel secure, right? And the reason you did the default is to protect yourself, but it isn't working. It's not healthy. What you want is to do something that is healthy so that you still get the reward of feeling safe. So maybe that reward is, instead of pulling back and being passive, maybe it's taking a deep breath, however long you need to take to yourself, and then talking or saying something calmly, collectedly, maybe to the person who did it, or maybe not. Maybe you just need to write it out. Maybe you need to talk to someone else who will say, Shannon, that was this person, but it's not this person. So check yourself. And that's where you get that safe feeling. Ideally, you will want to have that come from the relationship that you are in with that person. But sometimes you know you don't need to keep bugging that person about needing that reassurance. You need to be able to give it to yourself because it's baseless where the worry comes from. All right. So that's just something to think about. Cue, routine, reward. What you need to do to change the bad habit is to change the routine. So how you respond to the cue. Okay. Off on a little tangent there, but hopefully that was helpful. Number four, high emotional intelligence will not only help you, but your partner as well, and vice versa. Becoming someone who can accurately identify how they feel and why they feel the way they do is a step in the direction of refraining from acting unnecessarily on emotions that will soon pass or you are feeling based on past experiences and not due to what is actually in front of you or who is actually with you in that present moment. Similarly, when you can do this for yourself, you can then begin to be better at accurately identifying or observing those around you. And while not always telling them you know what you know they're thinking or why they're feeling that way or doing what they're doing, but knowing that that's why they're doing it in your own mind, it becomes helpful because you then know how to respond. You can be sensitive to that. And when it's something that's not right or helpful, then you can speak up, then you can say something. The key is to become emotionally intelligent. And that is a skill. And it's something we talked about earlier this year on the podcast, and I'll provide a link to that episode. But when you become emotionally intelligent, it's not only beneficial to you, but it's beneficial to your partner. And if you're working towards something together and you want the best for each other as well as yourself, you will respond to what you see and notice in a healthy way. So that's number four. Number five, courage and bravery are required. Initially, these may be viewed as the same skill, but the repetition is necessary. We will need to be courageous in order to reveal who we truly are, what we actually need, and be honest about where we can let go. And we will also have to be brave to open our lives up to an individual who is not as well known to us as we know ourselves. So the truth that we need to understand about real love is that courage and bravery are required. The last truth I want to talk about is number six, and it's easy to react. It's more difficult to respond. However, with thoughtful practice, responding, which is what we want to do. We don't want to react. We want to respond. And I did an episode on that as well earlier this year. That'll break that down for you if you're interested in that. But with thoughtful practice, responding can become your default rather than reacting. It just takes effort, conscious effort. And when you understand, again, being self-aware, being emotionally intelligent, responding becomes easier. And reacting, yes, you may feel like you should react or want to react, but you catch yourself realizing that that would be a reaction. It would not be a response. And the difference is one is helpful, one is not. All right. I want to take a moment to talk about our sponsor for today's episode. It is a new app that's available on iTunes through Apple that is free. And it's for those of us who like to keep track of our thoughts and our ideas and don't always have a journal to write things down in. I was thinking about this app a couple weeks ago when I was on vacation for a brief getaway to the coast. And I always was taking pictures. I was out on the coast taking pictures. I was meandering around this little town taking pictures, and I didn't have my journal on me. I didn't have my purse on me, but I did have my phone on me, right? And what this phone does, what this app does, is that number one, it does not collect your phone number, but what it does, because it's all done through the app, is it calls you once a day so that you will not forget to write in your journal. And it will say trunk on the phone so you know who's calling. And it will record your thoughts for 2 minutes. So you don't even have to think about writing your thoughts down. But if you do, like when I was on the coast and I was had all these different ideas and I was thinking all these different things, you can call it. You can touch that app on your phone and record your thoughts. And the beauty of this is that it records and then transcribes what you've shared so that you can then share your thoughts with someone. Maybe it's an email you wanted to write. You can then save this journal so that you can record, look back and reflect. And it is completely free. You do not even have to give them your credit card number for the first 30 days. You just simply sign up. And then at the 30-day mark, they will reach out to you and say, do you want to continue using this app? And you say, hey, I've liked this. I've loved this. I want to keep doing it. Yes. Or not so sure. So that's the beauty of it. A lot of the times we have to sign up for these things and they take our credit card information up front. And often that's a turnoff, to be honest. That's for me. This one, nope. Doesn't work that way. You just get to use it for 30 days. No obligation required. They contact you and you can decide if you want to keep using it. So it's the Trunk app. It's available on iTunes and I think you might want to check it out. All right. Welcome back. Let's get into what the journey of love, real love, will involve. Number one, both partners consistently choosing to figure out how to best make the relationship work and work well for both individuals involved, as well as for the relationship they want to build together. So that's what the journey will involve. First thing, ask yourself, what do you want? What does your partner want? And then what do you want as a couple? Have these conversations. Don't be shy. Talk calmly and when you're ready. Explain what makes you feel loved. Explain what makes you feel anxious. Talk through it and work through it. And it doesn't have to be because something's not working. Just have these conversations. Oh, I really liked it when you did that. It made me feel cared for. It made me put me at ease. And have that kind of back and forth. And that's how you get to know each other, number one. So then you can, oh, that's what they like. I wouldn't have thought of that. I didn't realize that. Because we're two different individuals. We've talked before about love languages. The five love languages. All of us interpret different actions and words as love at a different level based on our experience, our past experience, but also based on our sensitivities, also based on our culture. There's so many different variables that determine how we receive love and when something really does feel like love. And we have to talk someone through this. We have to communicate that to them. Time is often needed, as you probably all understand, when we begin to simply mesh with another individual and move together through life. But it's with communication about what works for you and works for them, where you can compromise and where you cannot, that will be the best for making your relationship work for both you and your partner, as well as the relationship you're building together. So that's number one. What the journey will involve. Number two, it will also involve a choice to love beyond the surface. Exterior appearances can be beguiling, enticing, and eye-catching. However, as adults, we can appreciate beauty from afar because we recognize that the beauty we see with our eyes is not the only nor the most significant beauty one can possess. Now, it's a good thing to attract and be attractive to your partner and vice versa. It shows you care. So I'm not dismissing that at all. But I think it's important that if this is a real relationship, this is love, this is real love, if this is a healthy relationship, our partners aren't going to become blind. And neither are we. It's that responsible adult response to exterior beauty. And then knowing that and trusting that within ourselves and with our partner. And because we have more that we love about our partner and they about us and what we've built together, a superficial beauty cannot equate what is being built between the two in the partnership. So it's something to keep in mind and maybe a way of reframing what is constantly thrown in our face in the media. And the world we live in, right? So just keeping that in mind. Number three, choosing to treat your partner lovingly, even during frustrating times. It will take a conscious choice to respond rather than react when different instances may arise that aren't what you want to work, want to have in a relationship. Nobody wants those tough conversations. No one wants those times that are rocky. But it's during those times where you respond rather than react that will make a big, great difference. Being aware of how you're feeling is important and why you're feeling it. But you don't want to be led around by your emotions if you want to maintain and grow stable, healthy relationships. And when I was writing this, if you watch Suits on USA, and it's a drama on cable, I couldn't help but think of Louis Litt. He is one of the lawyers and he is very emotional. He has a huge heart, But the last episode, most recent episode, it's in its most recent season right now. His counselor basically told him, if you don't get control of your emotions, if you don't stop being led around by your emotions, you will not have the life that you want. Because he's reacting. He just always immediately reacts. He doesn't respond, work through it, consider perspective, consider other context. He just reacts. He doesn't check himself. And we're not saying don't, I'm not saying stuff your emotions down. We're going to feel angry. We're going to feel frustrated at times. We need to make sure we handle those well, so that during those tough times, we can still be loving toward our partner. So that's number three. Four, moments of deep breaths and time on your own to work through new feelings, circumstances, and conflicts is going to be part of this journey. Everything that isn't working out in this moment doesn't need to be solved in this moment, even though we might want it to be because of the uncertainty and anguish it is causing. Been there, done that, still kind of working on it from time to time. We are human. We don't like to not know. We don't like to be in those moments where, oh, how's this going to work out? Been there, raising my hand. When we understand our emotions, when we understand ourselves well, we will also be stronger to step away from a conversation that may be highly charged due to a variety of reasons. Respectfully explain that we need a walk or some time to collect our thoughts or something to indicate that you will not move on for good, but you need to step back for now to gain some perspective and come back with a calm and clear head. Sometimes, I would say a lot of the times, emotions get heightened because of outside circumstances that have nothing to do with the moment right there between the two people. And often it's hard to communicate that because we don't even know it ourselves half the time. But when we take a breath, we walk away, go for a walk, whatever it is, but then communicate before we leave, say, I need some time. I need some space. I'll be back. Whatever it is. One of my good friends recently shared with me that in these kind of situations, she goes for a run. She clears her head. She lets the endorphins fly and she comes back with a clear head. They work through it. And that's one thing that works for them. And I think every partnership will be different. But I think the key is, again, self-awareness and communication and to be loving even during those frustrating times. Understanding that our partner is not perfect is a part of this journey. And we talked about this at the beginning of the episode, but it's important to be reminded of this again. We know this logically, but when we meet and begin to build a relationship with someone, it's natural to have high hopes. The key is to have hope rather than expectation. If we default to expectations, having expectations, we set traps to fall through and get caught and tangled up in. But if we have hope, we are remaining optimistic while being open to what may be. Now, keep in mind, we're still having our boundaries while we're being hopeful. Don't get me wrong. But when we set expectations, we become very narrow-minded with regards to what has to happen. And that is limiting. Each relationship is going to be different. The key is, again, to be clear about what you can and cannot do and listen to what they can and cannot do and work together, communicate. Number six, perspective of what is truly important is part of this journey. There will be moments during a relationship when things don't work out as you had hoped and disappointment does arise. Perhaps not because of anything either party can control. And while it is okay to express disappointment, it is also important to put into perspective with the entire journey you are on together. So how do you do that? Ask yourself, will this matter 1 year from now? Will it matter 10 years from now? Simple questions to ask yourself to enable you not to blow small hiccups into ginormous struggles. So that's number six, perspective of what is truly important when you run into those little obstacles that you didn't expect will definitely make a big difference in the quality of your relationship. So sharing and feeling love with another person is just that. It's a journey, none of which are exactly alike. And I think keeping that fact in mind is key. Key as well is understanding what your vision of a healthy, happy relationship may be, and understanding that it may be slightly or drastically different from your partner's. And the only way to discover what it is that they envision, what you envision, is to communicate and begin to reveal your lives together, your real selves, and yes, your best selves, but knowing that we will have off days. And even in those off days, our best selves will be a little different than on our good days. That's scary, but it's also part of the journey. Love asks us to look within and examine ourselves. This, as I just mentioned, can be frightfully terrifying, but it can also be exceedingly exhilarating. I want to talk about being scared. Often when something is scary, it is life's way of saying, look a little closer. Examine what is really going on. Because in so doing, when you look a little closer, it's just like taking that magnifying mirror out. It's, you know, getting those extra, when you're tweezing your eyebrows or whatever, this is the best way to see where to pluck so that you pluck in the right place and it works out and you have a beautiful line. Now, I know this is very superficial compared to what we're talking about, but I think the analogy is fair. That's the best way to really focus on what's scaring you. Because if we look at it at a broad lens, like, oh my gosh, I might get my heart broken. Well, you're right. But what is it that you're really afraid of? And everyone's reason will be different. If you look close enough, it'll be different. If you look broadly, everyone's is maybe very similar. But take the time to look closely. And when you do that, you will set yourself free. You will teach yourself self-awareness, come to understand your truths, learn how to move forward, acknowledging them, but not being hindered by them. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you'd like the show notes and the links that we talked about, visit the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast166. And I'll be right back with this week's Petit Plaisir. Welcome back. All right. If you have been following the blog, you know about this recipe. But if you haven't, let me tell you about it. It is homemade ricotta mousse and fresh berries. Yes, I said homemade ricotta. I have never made cheese, but I mentioned, let me go take it back just a few more steps. I love to go out to restaurants and try to find a recipe or learn about recipes that I love at the restaurant and see how I can make them at home. And earlier in July, I went out to the French Market, and it's a new French cuisine restaurant in town. And I shared a dessert with my dinner guests that was huckleberry ricotta mousse. And it was delicious. It wasn't sweet. It was just the right savory and creaminess, and it had a touch of vanilla. And I asked my waiter to ask the chef exactly how they made it as far as the ingredients. And that's what I learned. They had a little bit of vanilla and cream and obviously ricotta and then huckleberries. So simple. I'm thinking, I want to try this. Huckleberries are hard to find. So of course I didn't find huckleberries, but I will find them for next year and I will make this. So I was telling my partner, I was saying, hey, guess what I'm doing tonight? I'm going to make ricotta mousse. And he said, well, why don't you try making the ricotta yourself? And I stopped and I thought about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I have extra time. I really didn't need a lot of extra time. Granted, you have to let it drain for an hour, but it is the simplest recipe. And I have shared with you the recipe on today's show notes. It involves very few ingredients, a little bit of whole milk, a little bit of heavy cream, and lemon juice, and a little dash of salt. And then you need two tools. You need a fine mesh cheesecloth and one large sieve. That's it. It is so simple. I just give yourself an extra hour before you need to refrigerate the actual mousse, which you'll probably want in the fridge for about an hour as well. So give yourself about 2 hours or the day before, 2 days before. But the ricotta that's made at home has more depth of flavor. I want to share this with you. I did make mousse with the homemade ricotta, and I also made the mousse with a store-bought ricotta. And while both are great, if you can't make your own ricotta, you're going to be fine. This is still an amazing recipe. There is a little bit more depth of flavor. So if you want to give it a shot, I encourage you to do so, but it doesn't take you that long and it's really simple. Now for the mousse, very simple recipe, as you might imagine. You are simply mixing ricotta with heavy cream, a little bit of sugar, and then your fresh berries, your choice, huckleberries, strawberries, blueberry. I mean, whatever you like, the fresher, the better, because you want that natural sugar. So you don't have to put as much. And that's why I only have an eighth of a cup of sugar in my recipe. And what I like to do, and then you do add a little bit of vanilla into this recipe as well, a half a teaspoon. But what I like to do in whatever kind of serving dish I'm going to serve my mousse, I put a layer, not a solid layer, but a layer of finely diced fresh berries at the bottom of the serving dish. And then I put the mousse on top of it. And then I put it in the refrigerator. So that not only do you have the berries mixed into the mousse, because you will have that as well, but I also wanted to have a base of the fresh berries at the bottom. And you refrigerate it for 30 minutes to an hour. It will be fine after 30, but an hour or a day obviously would work fine, but an hour would be perfect. And just savor it. It's so satiating. And it obviously screams summer because the fresh berries, but it's not overly sweet. And I think you'll enjoy it. You can find the recipe on today's show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast166 for homemade ricotta mousse with fresh berries. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast where I'll recommend a book, a film, or a recipe, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, stop by the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up the book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide. To stay caught up on the most recent podcasts, blog posts, and receive exclusive news as well as an extra dose of inspiration, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's weekly newsletter, which arrives in your inbox each Friday to enjoy with a hot cup of tea or your morning coffee, just in time to jumpstart the weekend. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonne journée!